touching many other nations of the world. If you have questions about that, see me. That still is an ongoing program. Also, we've helped in many times, in many different ways, the children's home. They've asked us again to bring items. You've always done a great job with that. We appreciate that. I'm blessed to see several of these places. Maybe after the pandemic, we could go over and see some of these places. But it's a great work. Not an easy work, but it's a good work to help these young people as they're trying to get a good start in a very difficult situation. Thank you, Cooper, for that reading. I'm not sure I thanked him. And it's good to see these young people growing. This week on CNN, an anchor was interviewing somebody. And this person used to be a Southern Baptist, but now is Muslim. And he said this: "We have replaced the values of God with the values of politics." What does that mean? That means we look to politics for our values. We might look to the Republican, Libertarian, Democratic Party for our values. We might see what our party stands for instead of the Word of God. The Word of God is to be our guide and our belief. Maybe you believe in abortion because you studied your Bible. No, probably not. Maybe because a party or a person you know got pregnant. And we come up with ideal solutions? Not really. We think we can handle, control, and cover our sin. We can't. Moses is talking to the people of God thousands of years ago. He says, "Be sure your sin will find you out." We somehow, as a people, think we can handle it. We can control it. As a couple we know in Searcy several years ago, got married. And as they got married, all of a sudden they're pregnant. And he said, "Well, we must have got pregnant on our honeymoon." Of course, at 7 months when the baby was born, people can do math. They waited. It took about 2 years till they said, "You know, we were pregnant, we got married." They said, "We know. We're waiting for you, to be honest." People could see and do. And the people that we hurt when we try to control is us. Everybody else sees it. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, if we don't confess, we deceive ourselves. Now, in this context, we're looking at many things in our world right now. And so we ask the question, what should we talk about? What should we study about? Carl's question a couple weeks ago about communion prompted something. I think we need to go back to some very basic things. You may or may not know we practice open communion. What that means is very different than closed communion. Now that answers your question, doesn't it? We've had this before, and we'll bring a lesson on that and show you. Closed communion is where the preacher or the elders of the congregation interview each person and decide if you are worthy enough to take communion. And if you are, they give you a token. And you bring that token, and that gives you admittance to take communion. Now, consider how long that would take to go through the congregation. That's one of the reasons why people don't take it every week. Another reason is a mistaken identity and mistaken view of the Bible. I was reading an article about a guy yesterday. He said he went for years to this church, and not once does he remember having communion. Baptism and communion, according to the New Testament, are tied to the death, burial, and resurrection. We participate in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Another misnomer about this, and we'll look at all these in a lesson, we'll get our lesson in just a minute, is that we feel we are unworthy to take communion. So some people come to the communion table or sitting in the pews and say, "I'm not taking communion today because I'm not worthy to take it." No one is worthy to take communion. Jesus tells the 12 apostles after they go into all the world and they give their lives for God, they are still unworthy servants. Luke 17, 8 through 10. Paul writes that we eat a table at which we have no right to eat. But God has made us worthy. The reading today, and in the King James Version, that's where that comes from, we hear the word, well, we must not take the table in an unworthily manner. And a misunderstanding of English causes some people to say, "Well, I'm not worthy this week. I'm a sinner, and so I can't." And that's not what that word unworthily means. Unworthily is an adverb. It describes how we take the table. You see, in Corinth, it was how they were taking communion that was the problem. They were getting drunk. They were selfish, as we talked about in class, not thinking of somebody else. It's not talking about the person. And so he's telling them to clean it up, and he says in that verse, that's why some of you are sick and weak and even spiritually dead because of how they took communion. They had taken the Lord out of the Lord's Supper. But again, no one is worthy, but Christ died to make us worthy. We're going to look at some basic lessons on some basic things. Ryan did a good job preaching the gospel last week and talking about singing After all, you don't quote the preacher in the shower, right? And their singing is powerful to tie our spiritual life to help us to grow. Our first slide this morning is not here. I had some great slides to show you, and I had some computer problems, which I spent about an hour and a half last night with Microsoft to solve, so we don't have any slides today. Just imagine them in your head. We walk by faith and not by sight. The context is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it talks about we are burdened, we are pressed at every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Struck down, but not forsaken. And all that chapter talks about the suffering. Chapter 5, he turns a corner to talk about heaven. We know that if our earthly temple is destroyed, we have a building in heaven not made with hands. And so Paul begins his discussion about heaven, and in the middle of that discussion, he says, we walk by faith and not by sight. Nobody here is in heaven yet. That's ahead. But we believe and we have faith that there is a place called heaven, and we will be there by the grace of God. The first time I heard this sermon, it was from my mid-midnight called Can Faith Pay the Bills? It was in the 1970s. Because an eldership told a group of people in that church, well, faith can't pay the bills, sonny. So somebody assigned mid this topic, Can Faith Pay the Bills? Some of this material is his, but I've adjusted it to make it my own, because clearly the illustrations would not fit here. Can faith pay the bills? Well, first we need to look at some very basic material, basic Bible material about what is faith. And then we'll make some applications, I hope, for all of us. If you've seen the movie Indiana Jones and the Holy Grail, he's got to go and make a blind leap of faith to walk across this cavern. And that's not the biblical definition of faith. It is not a jump without faith, without evidence. It's something you can't understand. And you just blindly jump out. There are a lot of people talking religion about a blind leap of faith to God. God never asks us to do that. The word faith is used 240 times in the New Testament. The dictionary definition is faith is believing something as the result of testimony or evidence. That's pretty good for Mr. Webster. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, the King James Version. Another version, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is the convictions of things we do not see that they exist. I've never been to China. Other people have, but I believe it exists because of testimony or evidence, not a blind leap. I've never been to the moon, but I believe it's there because I can see it. Now, that's not exactly faith. But I believe that there are no people on the moon because of testimony, and we've sent people there. Believing something because of testimony. You must have evidence or testimony before you can have faith. The disciples were what we call primary evidence. They saw with their eyes. They touched with their hands. We saw him, John says in 1 John, the first part of his book. That's primary evidence. We believe as secondary evidence. Jesus says, blessed are those who believe and have not seen. That would be us. But we believe because of the testimony of their word. Believing in God is not a blind leap of just, well, I guess I should believe. It's based on evidence that God gives to us. My definition of faith is believing God's word and believing God will do what God said he would do. Hebrews 11:6 fits this very well. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because those who come to him must believe that he exists. And that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Very important two qualifiers. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We must believe that he exists. We must believe that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. How do we get faith? Sometimes people think faith comes to us in a mysterious way. Some people teach that the Holy Spirit comes on you and that's how you get faith. That is not true. Or else everyone would have the same amount of faith. And if we didn't have the same amount of faith, then God would be a respecter of persons. Why would he give you more faith and me less? God doesn't make that decision of how much faith you and I will have. Very familiar verse. Maybe you haven't put it together this way. But Jesus is not a respecter. God is not a respecter of persons. Romans 2:11. For God does not show favoritism. Acts 10:34. God does not show favoritism. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Acts 10:17. Put simply, faith comes from hearing God's word, listening to it, reading it, meditating on it, considering it. That's how our faith grows. The more we put the word of God into our life, the more our faith will grow. The less we put the word of God into our life, the less faith we'll have. John 20:30-31. describes this book was written so that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Based on the evidence and the testimony of the book of John, a person can come to faith that Jesus is God's Son. How does faith grow? Well, hearing God's word. The NIV says, hearing through the word of Christ. God does not do for man what man can do for himself. We want our faith to grow. Well, here's the formula and the process how to do it. Not to pray to God and make God do it. We must do it. Faith comes through hearing the word of Christ. John 17, 20, Jesus prays for all those who believe in me through their message. We're letting the Bible define itself on how we get our faith. In Luke 18, 12, Jesus tells what we call the parable of soils, and the parable of sower, sometimes it's called. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. The seed is the word grows, and some people it grows and gives root, and others it does not. Romans 14, 23, everything that does not come from faith is sin. Let's break that down just a little bit. Everything that does not come from faith is sin. To come from faith is to come from the word of God, and we'll look later at obeying the word of God is to walk by faith. Therefore, the opposite is true. If it doesn't come from God, it's not of faith. Infant baptism is not from God, it's not of faith, so it's of sin. Singing with instruments in the assembly is not from God, therefore it's sin. Walking by faith is to do what God said to do. Now, in the Old Testament, instruments were commanded, so they better have them. And that's what God commanded for them to do. Faith is obeying God's word. We'll get to more of that in just a minute. Faith is necessary. Acts 15 and verse 9, they were purified. Their hearts were purified by faith. Romans 5 and verse 1, we have been justified through faith. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, our reading today, we walk by faith. We can say amen when we're trying to bring somebody to Christ, but we're talking to the church today. But first, we're laying this foundation. If you're here today or you're hearing for the first time, or we talk many times, a person must come to hear the word of God. They must believe the word of God. They must believe that there's a way that they can be forgiven their sins, that all of their sins can be washed away, and they can be made right with God. And we say, here's what else God said. We have to repent. We have to turn away from sin and turn toward God. And that's something we have to do the rest of our lives. We have to confess. And then we must be immersed, baptized into Christ, brought into union with Christ according to his command. It takes faith to do that. It takes faith to believe that God will do what God said he would do. And in that context, we say yes and amen. That's as we bring somebody to Christ, they need faith. But where we're going today is for the church. We need faith. Some people say, I wish I had died right after I came out of the baptismal water because I know I would go to heaven. Well, that's good in one sense. That's bad in another. Because as a Christian, God now tells us in 1 John, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So as a Christian, we must continue to hear the word. We must continue to believe the word. We must continue to repent, turn back to God, and confess. And the scripture says as a Christian, he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to have faith and believe that. Just as we believed when we became a Christian the first time and was cleansed of all of our sins. God has still provided a plan to cleanse us of all of our sins. Hebrews 11, 6, without faith it is impossible to please God. You know, you could put a period in that sentence earlier and it's still true. Without faith it's impossible, period. Without faith this building wouldn't have been built. Without faith in the postal system, how foolish it would be to say, I'm going to put this letter in the mail. And I hope it gets there. I don't believe it's going to get there, but I'm going to put this in the letter anyway. Without faith, all business would stop. All commerce would stop. Because you don't have faith in sending that check or conducting this business that it will take place. Without faith, it's impossible. It's amazing how many things run by faith. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. James 2, 24. There's a big difference between faith and faith alone. You see, Luther in Romans 3:28 was reading and translating his text, and we're having that study about how we got the Bible, and people are worried about, did somebody add something to the Bible? This is the famous passage where Luther took out his pen and wrote the words, we are saved by faith alone. Of course, they saw that and took that out in the next translations. You see, we are not saved by faith alone. We're saved by the biblical definition of faith. James 2:24. We see the person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. Just believing will not get the job done. Matthew 19:7, if you want to enter life, obey the commandments. We hear all kinds of people say, well, just believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God. That's not what the Scriptures teach. There are many kinds of faith told about the Scriptures. There's a vain faith, 1 Corinthians 15:14. There's a dead faith in James 2:27. And no one thinks that that's a good faith. Galatians 5 and verse 6 really might be a better way to describe it. For in Christ there is neither circumcision availeth anything, or uncircumcision, but a faith that worketh by love, King James Version. Or the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. There's a biblical definition. A faith, not a dead faith, not a vain faith, not faith only, a faith that works through love. This sums it up. Faith working motivated by love. Hebrews 11, was not Abraham our father justified by faith when he offered his son Isaac? Rahab, was Rahab the prostitute not justified by faith when she hid the spies? Noah, by faith, Noah moved with holy fear to the building of an ark and saving of his house. Israel was grumbling and complaining, and God sent serpents and snakes among them to kill them. They cried out to God for repentance. God tells Moses, put a bronze snake, a serpent, up on a pole, and if they look at that serpent, they will be healed. Were they healed when they believed, or were they healed when they looked? Well, Numbers 21:9 says they were healed when they looked. The walls, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about. Just having faith didn't get the job done. They had to get up every day for 6 days and march around once. And the seventh day, do it the way exactly God said to do it. And that's the other key. Do it exactly the way God said it. Naaman the leper was cured in the Old Testament. But first, he had to go through some stuff. Why do I have to do it by God's commandments? Now, God's commandments seems foolish to him. Go dip 7 times in the Jordan River. Now, this man brought gold and silver and changes of clothes. That had to cost a lot. He was willing to do anything to be cured of his leprosy. Finally, his little servant girl said, look, if he'd asked you some great thing, you would have done it. If he told you to pay $1 million or give me everything you got, you would have done it. Why don't you do this simple thing and be cured? He had to follow God's directions. And when he did, he came up and his skin was as clean as a baby. Now, here's the application we often make, Acts 8:12. When they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Their faith led them to obey. We walk by faith and not by sight. Not by faith alone. Their faith led them to obey. Now, Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We say that's right, yes. Coming to Christ for the first time, but this book is written to Christians. As the writer of Hebrews writes to Christians, he says, by faith, over and over again. The chapter 11 is the great chapter of faith. What's the problem of these Christians? Well, they've been a Christian a while, and now they stand at a crossroads. These Christians have even had their property taken away earlier because they were Christians. Interchangeably, in the book of Hebrews, the writer talks about they were disobedient and they had unbelief. That's a lack of faith. And he uses those words interchangeably. So not to obey God is to not walk by faith or to be unbelieving. And to these Christians in the first century, he's telling them in this chapter of 11 to walk by faith. Here, this church, when we walk by faith, we walk by sight. By faith, we've come this far. By faith, without faith, this building could never have been built. Somebody believed in the people, believed it could be done, and could believe it could happen. About a year and a half ago, we were in the negative. We wrote to the congregation, and they came through, and we've gone past all that, and they have a surplus by faith. Someone says, well, I'll believe it when I see it. No, you'll see it when you believe it. By faith. During the time of that happening, we set a new one-week record for giving in 1 week. We do it to the praise and honor of God, but there are 7 stages in any church building program. You know what they are, don't you? We can't afford it. We can't build it. We'll never fill it. We tried that before. It didn't work. We can't finance it. It'll never be done. Look what we did. That's how it goes. By faith we walk, not by sight. As a new Christian, we walk by faith. We're coming out of the old life, the old world, and God helps us day by day and take maybe baby steps, might be a good way to say it. Baby steps to follow Christ, to be the person he wants us to be. By faith, trusting God, following God's directions, and living to please God. Jesus says in Luke 8, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? Seems like that's going to be important for him to look at. Now we're not, and it's great to have faith to come to Christ, but we're talking about now as a Christian, to walk by faith. We should not just say, well, we've gotten this far. Let's sit down and be happy and satisfied. We need to walk by faith. What does God have ahead in front of us? We don't know. A year ago, it was going to be, we're going to shut down for 2 weeks, right? We had no idea what this year was going to bring. And I have no idea what this next year will bring. We hope good things and great things, but we must walk by faith that God is on the throne, that Satan cannot destroy us, that this church will not end. Jesus says in Matthew 9, 27 to 31, as two blind men are crying out, Lord, have mercy on him, Lord, have mercy. What do you want? We want to see. And Jesus said, according to your faith, be it done unto you. Wait, Lord, didn't you mean according to taxation, inflation, pandemic? No, according to your faith be it done unto you. Ephesians 3, 20 to 21 says, to him who is able to do more than we think, ask, or even imagine, to him be glory of the church forever and ever. Amen. Take the biggest thing you can think of. As a group, we get it together, God can answer those prayers. Take the biggest things we can think of, and God can do more than that. Now, are we going to walk by faith? Asking God, seeking God, asking his blessings to do his will. What does he want us to do? Or we try to run this ourselves and walk by sight. Somebody says, well, here's a work for the Lord to do. Should we do it? I don't know. Let's read the financial statement. That's not walking by faith. Does God want us to do it? Is it the will of God? By doing the will of God, he will bless his work. There are three words that come from the same root word, scared, scarcity, and scarce. God will bless his work. God, it may be difficult sometimes, but God will bless his work. A context of this sermon, a church in Kentucky was bursting at the seams. A group of people went to the elders and said, we need to build on. No, we can't afford it. Haven't you heard of taxation, inflation? They went back the next year and said, we need to build on. He said, we need to have faith. He said, faith can't pay the bills, sonny. So that's where the first sermon came from. So somebody assigned the topic to Mid-McNight, can faith pay the bills? I don't know anything else that can but faith. Here we are in the middle of a pandemic. We have faith that God is on the throne. Jesus says, according to your faith, be it done unto you. Now don't get on to me if I talk about elders, preachers, or members of the church. I fit all three categories. But God has got to be sad sometimes at our weak and puny faith. We must believe what God says, for he is God and we are not. Over and over again, the children of Israel, as they came through the wilderness wandering, and they're going to the promised land, the God that God promised them, they sent out 12 spies. 10 of them said, oh, we can't do this. Oh, we talked about stinking thinking. They're giants. 2 of them said, it's an exceedingly good land, and God is with us. He'll give us this land. Now, I could give you those 10 names, but you wouldn't know any of them. But you know the names Joshua and Caleb thousands of years later, because they walked by faith. At 40 years later, at the age of 85, Caleb said, give me this mountain. And at 85, he went and conquered that mountain and took it for himself. We walk by faith. In Jeremiah 33, 2-3, the Lord says, this is the Lord who made it. Thus says the Lord who made it, who formed it and established the earth. The Lord is his name. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. God is inviting us to think big. And sometimes we think too small. Psalm 81, verse 10 to 11. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth and I will fill it. How big can you open your mouth? God can fill it. The sad thing is the very next verse. But you, my people, would not listen to me. Israel would not submit to me. The problem was not with God. All those problems in the wilderness wandering, none of those problems were with God. They were the people of God in a relationship with God who did not believe the word of God. It suffered in many different ways. We walk by faith and not by sight. The context here, again, is 2 Corinthians 5 as he talks about heaven. Paul is saying, we're not there yet, but there is a place called heaven. There is a place that is made not with human hands, We've seen some great houses made by human hands, but by the hands of God, anamorphically speaking. And there in that context, do you believe that there's life after death? Do you believe that God is preparing a place for those who are His children? If you're a parent, you know what it's like to love a child. You know what it's like to plan things for a child and build things for a child because you love them and you want them to enjoy it. God is our Father. And He wants us to walk by faith in our Father. And there's the context of heaven. There in this context, if you've watched the video series by Dr. Stafford North, he talked about Pete Maravich as a famous basketball player, well-known, well-respected. Went to Dr. Dobson's house, and as they were playing basketball, they sat down to have some refreshments. Pete Maravich, in his 40s, had a heart attack. The paramedics came, and he died. Dr. Dobson was talking with his family about that, how we could die at any time, and we could be taken from this earth at an early age or unexpected time. And so he talked about to his family, we want to be ready. We need to think of something that we could say that we could encourage each other to be ready. So they came up with this, be there. I'm going to be there. I want you to be there. Dr. Stafford North, who was telling that, if you saw the video, his birthday was this week. He passed away some time ago. All through Facebook, all kinds of notes about, be there. I know you're there. I'll be there. The essence of what we're here is to bring people to Christ and to be there. Are you ready to be there? Are you preparing to be there? Do you want to help your family to be there? You see, this is part of where we're going. We walk by faith. It might be difficult. It might be talking about your husband, your wife, your children, your grandchildren, your neighbor, whatever it is. We walk by faith. You have faith that the Word of God could change their life, that God could reach them, that they could literally come and come to Christ or come back to Christ. You see, we walk by faith that the power is in the gospel. The gospel hasn't lost its power. It's that we haven't obeyed. Let us pray. Our Father in God, we marvel at how kind and patient you are with us. Forgive us for our weak faith or puny faith or thinking too small. May we get a vision of what you want us to be, what you want our families to be, and what you want this church to be. We pray, dear God, that you'll help us to walk by faith and not by our plans, and not to be the elders' plans or the deacons' plans or the members' plans, but your work and your plans here. We thank you, Father, for the love of your Son and your love to let him to die on a cross for our sins. Help us to reach out and share that good news. But Father, help us in our own life and our own heart to remember we walk by faith, and help us to believe and obey in response to your love. Thank you, Father, for your kindness. Thank you for your grace. Cleanse the speaker of his many sins and help us, dear God, and cleanse us as you promised to do. Help us, Father, be prepared and be ready to go to our promised land. Help us not to die in the desert away from you. Protect us against the evil one. We thank you for loving us first. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The question is still there. The question is on the table. Will you be there? Are you prepared to be there? Are you preparing to be there? Maybe you have loved ones there. Another reason to be there. Don't quit. Don't quit. Maybe you've never started. The good news is a person can come in off the street, hear the gospel, hear the good news, and obey the word of God, and have all of his past sins washed away, and be a child, a son or daughter of God. God will help them all the rest of their lives to get to heaven. Satan will do everything he can to kill them. And that's the journey and the struggle of all of us. If we don't hang together, we will hang separately. So let's today pledge to be there. If you're not ready, why don't you come as we stand and sing?